go to nzblood.co.nz. Senior Focus.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. Today, I'm having a chat session. It's pre-budget time, and it's time that there's a lot of legislation coming through the House, thick and fast, that's unravelling and unrolling a lot of rights and hard-won support services in the community for a number of groups. And so this is of concern, particularly as it looks as though it's a budget cutting device rather than an improvement of services. So I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about the current situation with the Auckland Council rates, because it could have impact on rents as well as on people who own their properties. And this was to be the year where the rates increase would be the highest of the three increases proposed over 3 years. And we've already had 2 years of quite substantial increase. So this increase proposed was 7.9%. And already there's momentum in the council to amongst councillors to say this is not the time to put the rates up to that level. There must be savings that can be made. There must be projects that could be deferred. And consequently, there is talk about potentially a remit or a vote on a 5.9% increase. Now, it's tentative. Some people won't be drawn and named in the paper, but the Herald has actually been running articles on this. And I do believe that the substantial practical concern in the community about the impact of these rates and how hardship will impact on people. So I suggest if you've got strong feelings about this that you make sure you email or phone your local councillor. Make your views really clear. You've got time, so they're not voting on it tomorrow. And I think that it's important to really put the pressure on at this stage, because they do have options. They do have ways of cutting their cloth and ensuring that some projects start a year later than otherwise would be happening. Now, of course, local boards don't really control a great deal of the money, and they often don't have a huge influence. But some of the areas where money is spent, of course, is transport, parks and reserves and so on, and they do have input into these areas. So if you know that there are big projects planned that maybe could be deferred, if you've got input onto those, and they're part of the local board strategy or the local board plan, maybe talking to your local board would make sense as well, because your local board works with your councillors. Of course, 21 councillors across the city, including the mayor, means there are an awful lot of councillors involved, and you live in your area, you only have one councillor. Maybe you are in the Albany area where there are two councillors, because it's such a widespread area. So do your homework and research, have a look at the council website, find out who the local person is and how to contact them. It's all the information's there, so it's not hard to do. With regards to the rates themselves, the deadline for applying for a rebate is the 30th of June, and the process is really easy now. The first thing you do is get hold of the official form from your local library. Just bowl up to the library, ask the librarian for a rates rebate form. They'll have the latest form there, and you can quickly see what information you need to have and supply. If you get busy and phone wins on the seniors line, and I'll give you a tip on that in a minute, how to avoid the 80-minute queue wait, if you ring WINS, they will email you a statement, or they'll send it out in the mail, whichever you prefer. But if you want something fast, have it emailed, and you can print it out at the library. If you've got a Gmail account, that would be the fastest way to go. But otherwise, have it mailed out, and they are quite efficient, because I've had something sent to me from them, and it only took 2 or 3 days from my phone call. I mean, it was really rapid. So get that statement of your earnings from your National Super sent out. If you've got income in addition to National Super, like bank interest or other types of KiwiSaver money coming into your account and that sort of thing, you need to, or shares, you need to get a statement from IRD, which would be for the end of the financial year, ending in 31st of March this year, so going back 12 months. So have your statement from IRD, and you can photocopy that and put an attachment with the form. The whole lot then is mailed by the librarian through the internal mail system. So it's received, it's date stamped, signed by the librarian, and it goes into the system. Now, it needs to get in there promptly, because you can't, even though it's technically you can send it on the last day, I would not recommend that at all. I would say give yourself to the middle of June, and your papers, you know, should be gathered by then and in the librarian's hands, ready to go. You've got time. So the other thing is, you might think, oh, well, I earn too much. Now, the amount that you can claim back has gone up. It's gone up to over $800, depending, of course, on how much your rates actually are. If you're in a retirement village, they may be paying your rates, so it's a little bit different. But you may be in a village where you pay the rates, and you may be in a complex where the rates are lower because there's a whole group of you sharing that land. However, if they are anywhere above $2,500, you will find that you can get some sort of a rebate, provided you earn under about $50,000. Now, above that, if you're at $60,000, you may still get a proportion of the $800-odd allowed as rebate. So the rebate shrinks as your income increases. And that that sliding scale, which is all set out as part of the form to give you clarity about where you sit. And, of course, your water rates are also included in the total of what your rates allocation is. So you might find, well, by the time your water rates are added on, that you're above 3,000. And if you're above 3,000, you clearly qualify for the whole amount, as long as your income is under about 50,000. So that's a very rough ballpark set of figures. Please look at the form, and please look at the amounts suggested for you to work this out. Now, that's the rates rebate, and that takes effect for the that sort of becomes something that's credited against your rates. It's not something that you get as a handout. So I should explain that if you've never done it before. All right. So the other way that you might be able to get help with rates is the rates postponement. Rates postponement can be because you have a huge outlay in repairs. Your insurance didn't cover all the floods and the storm damage, and you've had to find quite a few thousand to top up. You've had to replace some parts of your dwelling, and that's been expensive. You've had to replace piping, or you've had to get some insulation put in, and more heating and so on. And so you want to actually postpone paying the rates for a period. You can. It's not indefinite, but when you apply for rates postponement, you simply pay a fee. It's only small. I think it's about 1.35% of the total value of your rates bill, and you have to apply first on paper. There's a form, and basically it gives the council permission to claim on your death or on the sale of your property the amount of the rates owing at the time that you've signed the postponement, and they can apply to the High Court or under probate and on your death. But they can also, on the sale of the house, have it written on the title that they are the primary debtor and debitor, and so they can claim that money before you get money for the sale of your house. There are one or two other circumstances where the council might decide that they want to do something before either of those things happen. So there are criteria, and you're advised to get some legal advice before you sign and before you apply. So there is the form, and in addition, you put your own circumstances on paper as to why your income is limited, why you have difficulties with the rates in the current situation, and why you won't wish to apply for postponement. This actually avoids people getting into situations where they have to pay penalties, and those penalties mount up. So this actually prevents that happening. It gives you some breathing space, and it's often a really valuable way, particularly if you think that you're going to sell your property within a year or two, and it's worth quite a lot of money. Maybe the land's worth a lot of money. So it's actually going to help you in your budgeting over a couple of years or so. So you can get ready, get your place ready for sale, put some more effort into improving your place, and when it is sold, you pay back the rates that are owed, and you move into maybe a retirement village, or you downsize in some way, go and live with family, or have other arrangements. And so this actually can be a solution to people who face pressing bills because their property needs maintenance. There are a number of situations people fall into where it can be very helpful, and often that if you're very anxious about such matters, having someone to talk to, starting at the CAB and maybe finding someone in community law who can just give you a steer about the things that you need to consider, all of this can be helpful. It's not an arduous process, and the staff at Auckland Council will work through the application with you, and so this will actually mean you don't end up with somebody coming knocking on your door saying the council's taking you to the High Court and they're selling your property. So some people do avoid paying the rates and then end up with a huge lot of penalties, and they end up with a situation where the council proposes to sell the property. So you don't want to be in that situation, and you don't have to be, and there is a very simple, straightforward set of procedures that you follow. And again, the library has the form So you don't have to worry about having a computer or downloading the form and printing it out yourself if you don't have a printer. You just go along to your library and ask the librarian. And the librarian may not have done this before. They may not know about it, but all you need to say is, look, it's on the website in the rates section of the council's website, and they can look it up, they can print it out, or they can have actual copies printed on hand in their administrative part of the library. I've actually seen people doing this, and I've actually know that it's possible. So don't be put off if somebody doesn't know firsthand when you get there. It's probably a new staff person or someone who hasn't met that before. Just persevere and you'll get where you're going quite comfortably. So okay, that's the rates, but going back to some of the changes that are happening in society as a result of the stance the government is taking over the budget, finding ways to cut services, ways to cut jobs, to move towards greater use of AI, and some of the shortfall for housing and social problems is having a lot of it's concerning a lot of people. It's everything ranging from the legislation to move on homeless people to the legislation to change a lot of rights that disabled people have currently, and this is to avoid people actually taking court cases, taking the government to court over family carers not getting paid adequately, various issues. And I noticed that in the UK they have had they've brought in similar legislation. They've tried to do this, and politically it's been so difficult for them, they've had to retract it. But that's a different government and a different climate. So it's not easy stuff to do, but in New Zealand, a network support system has been set up amongst all the disability groups. And so there's a peak body, New Zealand Disability Support Network, and they have actually produced a guide to the legislation that's proposed, which is currently before the Select Committee, but you can still submit. So your submissions have to be in early in June. I think it's 10th of June is the closing date. So what I would recommend is you have a look at New Zealand Disability Support Network. They're on LinkedIn. They have links to their guides to the bill, and they have six different scenarios that they've drafted around this bill. So you can find areas that of concern that are relevant to you, and when you find those, you can reword things and put your own submission together. It's always advisable not to copy word for word in a submission guide, because the more that turn up with the same wording, they all get lumped together as one submission. Even if there's 25 of them or 200 of them, they only count as one because they're all saying the same thing. So it's very important to put things in your own words, and how it's going to impact on you, the people you're supporting, the people in your community, the people that you look after and care for or care about on a day-to-day basis. And the impact down the track on people like those that you care for too is important, because there will be lasting impacts. This bill is going to unwind and roll back quite a lot of the rights that currently exist, and that's why it's really important that you understand this. And you might think, oh well, it doesn't affect me, I'm all right. The difficulty is that as we age, decade by decade, we have increasing issues and problems with mobility, with sight, with hearing, with capacity to cognitively make decisions, and we can't always tell in advance exactly how we are going to track. We might be really fine in our 60s, but by their late 70s, we may need a lot more support. By our 80s, we might be needing personal care work. We might be needing people coming into our home and making meals and doing washing once a week and cleaning and things. And we may not have any family living close by who can help. So consequently, the aged care workforce is an issue here. Lack of workforce planning. Lack of planning for the disability support needed at any age, but especially in older age. And we're going to find that the numbers don't stack up. We're going to have larger numbers of disabled people, larger numbers of people over 70 and 80, and larger numbers who are vulnerable and needing care. But at the same time, we've got a shrinking care workforce, and we've got some people trying to shrink the immigration as well. We've got some people who want to up the standard of English in immigration, which could limit the number of care workers coming in. There's all kinds of issues here. It's a network of fish hooks, really. So whatever your situation, think ahead. Think about, well, yeah, I might be fine now, but I might need some help in the future. I might want to know that I've got rights for support. And so have a look at the legislation. See what is there and what might be relevant to you. And if you've never done a select committee submission before, it is not at all difficult. If you just follow the links on the New Zealand Disability Support Network LinkedIn site, it's very straightforward. And if you're unsure about how to do any of that, you can go along to your local library and book a time with a librarian. Also, there are digital seniors hours at the library. So most libraries across the North Shore, and quite a few in Auckland, have sessions that digital seniors volunteers are there running, and so you can book time with them. They have a couple of hours a week in each of these libraries, and their people are there, and it doesn't matter whether it's looking for something on your phone, dealing with viruses on your phone, helping to block numbers of people that are pestering you, or whether it's getting rid of ads or whatever it is that's on your mind, and including finding ways to make submissions and finding submission guides. They can help you with all of this. You're really able to do that. So there's a lot of help out there to getting onto this kind of thing. I've been concerned about a number of the issues that I've mentioned. The lack of accessible housing for disabled people, the poor workforce planning and the lack of carers into the future, the lack of workforce planning, the lack of employment support to help disabled people get into employment. And as a lot of avenues that might be open to them currently are being closed off by the cost-cutting job losses and projects getting slashed and axed, I'm just really concerned about how some people are going to fare. It's about their confidence, their opportunity to develop skills, and their opportunity to be valued. So there's a need for not only common sense, but using the evidence that's already out there, because I don't think the evidence has been looked at very closely in terms of the decision-making. Decision-making is based on financial decisions about numbers and dollars. It's not about the evidence about what impacts on people long-term or how society is improved or otherwise by these decisions. And that's why getting your voice out there is so important. It's really why we exist on the radio, to make sure that you have the right information and skills so that you can go and empower yourself and have your voice heard. That's what democracy is about, and it's a fragile plant. At the best of times, we need to exercise our rights, our opportunities to be heard and get on with it. So good luck with all of that. And I've got some people in the pipeline to talk about the budget and the likely impact. And at the moment, of course, there's a lot of discussion about how tight it is for everyone, how they're finding the cost of living increase is really difficult, and of course with the fuel crisis on top. So if you've got particular situations where you feel that you need more assistance, go and talk to the CAB. They're often housed in your library. That's the Citizens Advice Bureau. And they are a free service, and they can look at anything from helping you with rates, with insurances, looking at maybe loan agreements or some shopping that's gone wrong where you've used PayPal or a card and you feel you've been scammed, or you haven't been able to get the product that you thought you'd paid for. Anything that falls in the consumer area that you feel ripped off about, you go and can talk to them, and they're able to pick up the phone and advocate on your behalf. They're able to contact people for you, and of course they can put you in touch with the Utilities Commission, who look after any disputes about electricity, about fibre and broadband accounts. And the Utilities Commission is an independent body, and they actually follow those disputes and cases very thoroughly, and they will rule independently and very fairly, quite often in people's favour, and depending on the evidence and the facts, of course. But the CAB can be your first port of call in terms of helping you hook up with how to get in touch with them and get on their system. So there's a lot of help out there for you. You don't have to struggle alone, and it shouldn't be something that keeps you awake at night. So we're hoping that you will feel the strength of this program behind helping you get on with moving through this time. And as we go into winter and you've got the winter energy payment coming through, I know that probably it will get spent on food, but the main thing is you can always go and seek budget advice, and you can always get help, and you can start with the CAB, and they can put you in touch with others. Thank you for listening. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
Forest green, parsley sage.